ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Well, should I be? Why should I believe that? Because I am also the truth. He is the truth. The Word of God. Jesus is the Word. So we could trust what's in here. And then he gives us that abundant life. Now, Peter said in 1 Peter 1, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Absolutely. So we need to listen to what Jesus is saying to us through his word, by his spirit. And Jesus, again, here is speaking to the Jewish people and to the Jewish religious leaders. They had come, many, outside of Jerusalem for Passover. There were many Greeks also that came there, non-Jews, and the Jewish religious leaders. The tragedy is Jesus quoted out of Isaiah, in John 12:40, when he said about these religious leaders, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. You see, they rejected the light. They refused to come to the light. They had opportunity, but their hearts were hardened and God gave them what they want. It's not that they couldn't understand it. They just chose not to. Now, something that people get confused with here in John 12:47 is when he says, I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And yet in John 5:22, Jesus said, the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Well, wait, is Jesus judging or not judging? I don't understand. Why those two points? Well, they're both right, and I'll show you why. The first time he came to save the world, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We didn't need more condemnation. We're already condemned, right? God didn't send a condemner. He sent a Savior to save us. And that's so important. He was on, you might say, a search and rescue mission to save us. But again, Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Absolutely. And think about it. People have a misconception that, you know, when they die, they're just going to sit together with God, have a heart-to-heart talk with God. You know, I've been a pretty good person, Lord. You know, that little old lady, I've helped across the street so many times. I know some of the times she didn't want to go, but I helped her anyway. And, you know, I've done all these good things. Let me say this. This is not a court date when you go before God. This is a sentencing date. And we need to understand that. What have you done with my son Jesus? You rejected him, guilty. End of story. One writer said, why will sinners not come into the light of life? Because they love the darkness. They want to persist in their evil deeds, and this keeps them from coming to the light. For the closer the sinner gets to the light, the more his sins are exposed. Absolutely. I don't know if you saw that picture on Facebook, but there's a man holding up a sign. If Jesus comes again, let's kill him again. I'm sorry, I got news for you. That's not going to happen. He is coming again, but you're in trouble, not him. Men love the darkness, Jesus said in John 3, rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Absolutely. You know, I think that's why people hate Christians so much, because we shine the light, and they don't like the light. One writer said, you know, Jesus was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He died for the sins of the world, but do men love him for this? No, they resent him. They prefer their sins to having Jesus as Savior. And so they reject him. Just as some creeping things scurry away from the light, so wicked men flee from the presence of Christ. Those who love sin hate the light because their light exposes their sinfulness. When Jesus was here in the world, sinful men were made uncomfortable by his presence because he revealed their awful condition by his own holiness. The best way to reveal the crookedness of one stick is to place a straight stick beside it. Coming into the world as a perfect man, the Lord Jesus revealed the crookedness of all other men by comparison. That's why people don't like us, guys. People think, oh, you're just holier than thou. No, I just love the Lord and I'm living the way he wants me to live. I'm not any better than you. But the way I'm living my life exposes the darkness in your life. You don't like it. I've told you before, you know, when my kids were in rebellion against God and against my wife and I, they didn't even want us around because our very presence, they were convicted. They were big time convicted. I didn't even have to say anything about the Bible, about Jesus, anything. Just me being there convicted their hearts, and it bothered them. And that's what happens in this world. You know, I've shared with you about the whole abortion issue. Why do people hate us so much? Because we're standing up for the rights of unborn children. I mean, it makes no sense because we are exposing the wickedness and darkness with the murder of unborn children, and they don't like it. You saw the signs, you know, abortion is our health care. No, it's not. That's murder. That's not health care. Health care is positive. What you're doing is negative. And so they don't like that. And it's interesting because Jesus, think about this. Here's this light that comes into this world. It's doing all this good that is fulfilling what the Old Testament prophets said would happen with the Messiah. He's doing all that. And they are in such darkness that they're going to put him to death in just a few days. Well, the first time, yeah, he died for our sins. The second time, he's coming as the reigning king and he's going to judge a Christ-rejecting world. Far different. But again, sin is deceptive. If it wasn't, no one would get tricked by it. You know, in a month or so, we're going to be going to Texas fishing. I'm going to go fishing. I'm not a fisherman. I'm a caster, but I use the term fisherman because that sounds better than a caster. And you know, I use bait or a hook, what, to trick the fish. He doesn't go, hey, I'm going to get hooked here. No, he goes, oh, this looks good. And then he gets hooked. And that's sin. There was this guy. He decided to rob a convenience store clerk. And he had a neat plan to give the clerk a $10 bill, get her to open her cash drawer to make change, and then grab all the money. And it worked. It was a great plan. He got everything in her cash drawer. The total amount of money that was in the drawer was $4.34. He gave her $10 to rob her. That meant he went in the hole for $5.66. He's not a good thief, okay? But that's deceptive. That's how deception is. Do you really think Adam and Eve, they were promised freedom? They can, oh, look at, you will be like God. You're not going to die if you partake of this fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in the end, they lost. Samson, you know, his sexual activity, Delilah. Oh, she's the one. No, she's not. And he lost his freedom. He lost his eyesight. He lost everything. Ananias and Sapphira, right? Hey, we sold all our property. We're giving you the money. Here's the money. And they lied. They only gave part of the money. And it cost them their life. Be careful because sin costs too much. Can we as Christians sin? Yeah, we do all the time. Be careful. Be aware. Because you will have to pay the piper. There's consequences to our sins. And there's consequences of not coming to Christ, which is far worse. But for those that do, there are tremendous blessings. A call to obedience is our last point that we're going to look at. Look at verse 49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. He's submitted himself in the incarnation to the authority of the Father. And basically he's saying, I'm here as God's representative. I'm here to teach you the truth about God. I'm here to show you God's love and God's mercy and God's grace. I'm here to show you God's forgiveness. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to save you. And I'm saying the things that the Father gave me to say. I'm not speaking of my own self. These are God's words to you, and they are life everlasting. And that's what Jesus was giving to the Jewish people and what he's given to us. And it's a love relationship. It's not a legalistic relationship. Now, a gentleman was giving this illustration. He told his wife as she got in the car with him, you know, fasten your seatbelt. You know, it's the law. And he thought about that. You know, well, that's not the reason I want her to buckle up, because I'm going to save a few bucks if I get it, so I don't get a ticket. I wanted to protect her from harm of any accident. And that's the reality. Are we going to live by the law or out of love? You know, I think that's something that Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I command you. He came to set us free from the bondage of sin that we were in. But he also came to restore that relationship with the Father. You know, you see so many people that are so sincere, they want a relationship with God, but they're trying to attain it through all kinds of other things. You know, I saw this tragic picture of this gentleman on his knees before the Virgin Mary, and I thought, you know, the caption was something to the effect, you know, a cement block that is molded and painted is not going to help you. And that's pretty much what David said. You know, these idols, they have mouths, but they don't speak. They have ears, but they can't hear. They can't walk. You know, I've seen a lot of places, you know, they're carrying the statue of the Virgin Mary around. Because, yeah, she can't walk. She's an idol. Jesus is living. And there's the huge difference. He's Almighty God who came to save us from our sins. Our relationship with God was destroyed in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned. It broke that fellowship. And from Genesis 3 onward then is God restoring that fellowship, and it was done at the perfect time, as Jesus Christ, God, became flesh and dwelt among us. In fact, Peter said in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for the sins, the just for the unjust, in order that he may bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive by the Spirit. Jesus died once for our sins. Only once he hung on the cross of Calvary, bore the sins of the world, as the wrath of God was poured out upon him, and that wrath that was due you and me, he took. And he did it to bring us to God, to restore that relationship. In fact, the word bring that Peter uses speaks of admission to an audience with the great king, and I really like that. Jesus Christ has come to bring us into an audience with God Almighty. Yeah, I like that. His atoning work on the cross of Calvary, paying in full the penalty for our sins, brings us to the Father. If we ask him to be Lord and Savior of our lives, to forgive us of our sins. If we refuse, then we're not going to have that relationship with him. See, I can't save myself because I'm a sinner. But Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, the just for the unjust, in order that he may bring us to God. Our love for God is seen in our obedience to him. And I've used illustrations like this before, but, you know, I can say as often as 20, 30, 50 times a day, I love my wife. But if my actions don't show that I love her, those words are meaningless. People say, I love Jesus, but are our words meaningless because we're not obedient to what he's saying? Isaiah 1, verses 19 and 20. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Yeah, was that for Israel? Absolutely. But there's a spiritual application for us. If we're obedient to the Lord, there are blessings. If we're disobedient, then there are consequences to our disobedience. Again, John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Be obedient. 1 John 5, 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Yeah. If you say you love God and you do your own thing, you're disobeying what God has said. Your actions don't speak of your love for him. And too many times people make it a legal relationship. Well, you got to do this, you can't do that. That's a burden. I'll give you an example. You know, Moses had the Ten Commandments, and you read the first five books of Moses, Exodus, really, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Genesis doesn't have it, the law in there. But you see the things that God has established. There's 613 main laws. Now, that's a lot of them. How do you remember them all? I think that was a problem. But then the rabbis, the Jewish religious leaders, added more and more to these commands. Well, what do they mean? How do we interpret them? And it became a heavy burden, something that they couldn't even keep. That's what Jesus told them in Matthew 23, 4, for they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They can't even keep the law. But for the Sabbath day, Sabbath is a day of rest, right? God established the Sabbath day so you could, they worked hard. They were an agrarian society. They worked out in the fields. So God established the Sabbath day for them to spend time with their family and with God. And so what happened was, when the Jewish religious leaders were trying to understand what the Sabbath day was all about, they brought this one law and put it into 24 chapters in the Talmud. 24 chapters. And this is your day of rest. If I have to follow 24 chapters, I don't think that's rest. I think that's work. I'm going to be sweating. And that's what Jesus, I think that's why Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The law was a heavy burden. They couldn't do anything. You know, you have false teeth, you couldn't put them in on the Sabbath day because that's work. And I think, you know, Bible says Jesus was a carpenter. I don't think they made wooden homes back then, more of a stone homes. I think he was a yoke maker. And he even says here, my yoke is what? Oh, it's easy and my burden is light. I've got the perfect yoke for you that will guide your life. But if you want to put all these heavy burdens upon you, you're going to be weighed down. You're going to be in trouble. Or you can come to me and I can give you the rest you need. And isn't that true with Jesus? I'm not saying we don't serve the Lord, that these physical bodies don't get tired. They do get tired. But there is that rest in him. I like that. The commandments that God has given us is not a burden. Think about it. Thou shalt not murder. Oh, that's just not fair. Well, come on, really? You know, come on. There's nothing evil about them. And I think that the Ten Commandments apply to our lives today, not for salvation, but just following the Lord. I think they're good principles to follow. Again, look at what we've seen here. A call to come to Jesus. He's going to be passing off the scene. He's going to give that work to his men to bring the gospel message to the lost. And within 30-some years of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Paul says that the gospel message has gone throughout the whole known world. Without the internet, without Facebook, without any of those tools, without the radio, you know, television, they walked from community to community. As they shared Jesus and others heard it and got saved, they went to their home, went back home and shared, and the word of God spread. But it's an invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. But many won't, and so there are consequences of not coming. There's a judgment that's coming. You know, when we die, apart from Christ, we will end up in Hades for a time. That's a temporary holding tank until the Great White Throne Judgment, where you will be sentenced and eternally separated from Christ in the lake of fire. That's the judgment. And then God says, you need to obey me because I have what's best for your life. Just like parents who tell their children, don't put your hand on the stove. It's not because you hate them or try to ruin their fun. It's because you're trying to protect them. And that's what God does with us. He's trying to warn us. He's trying to protect us. He's trying to guide us. He's our good shepherd. And I love what Paul said in Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. He said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Oh, let Christ rule in your hearts, and what's going on inside will overflow outwardly in the things you do, the things you say. It's interesting, the word believe in John 12, verses 37 through 50 is used some 8 times. Why? Because again, Jesus is concluding his ministry to the crowds of people, and he's giving them a chance to believe, to come to that saving faith. And I don't know where, you know, some of you are at this morning, or, you know, those that are listening on the radio, the internet, but today is the day of salvation. You know, this was the last call. And the last call in the Bible, guess where it's found? Revelation 22, 17. The end of the Bible, where it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. That's an invitation for every one of us. If you don't know the Lord, the invitation, whoever desires, if you desire and you come to him, you shall be saved. But here, the light was going out to the out for the nation of Israel for a time. God is working with them, and he will during the tribulation period. But don't let the light go out, because I think the hour is late. It is the last call. Judgment of God is coming. How soon? I don't know. I am not a date setter. I never will be a date setter. But as I look at what's going on in this world, things are moving very quickly. Just keep your eyes on the Middle East. Look at what Iran is doing. They get nuclear weapons. Israel will work on taking them out. And if Israel tries to take out Iran, Russia will come and help them because they're allies. Or Damascus. They are constantly firing rockets into Israel. If they get something big into Israel, Israel will destroy them. Damascus will be like glass, the Bible says. Hasn't happened yet. It's the longest living city out there, but it's coming. Keep your eyes on what's going on. Keep your eyes what's happening with the one world government. Keep your eyes on the money system. Keep your eyes on what the United Nations and the World Economic Forum said. You can go to the webpage of the United Nations, and you'll see some of the things they have for us. This is not something hidden or some conspiracy. This is what they're saying. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Hey, try living out in California. How many people are homeless because they can't afford to live out there anymore? So the government will have to step in and say, we're going to take care of you. They also said the United States will not be a superpower anymore. They will not be a world leader. I thought they were the United Nations. Now they're telling us that we will no longer be a world power. Understand what's happening. The religions of the world are coming together. The Pope is uniting them. Very interesting, just like the Bible tells us. How long do we have? 5 years, 10 years, 15, 50 years, I don't know. But today is the day of salvation. Don't pass it up. And be excited. Let your light shine that you may glorify your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this lesson here, for your words that you are continuing to call out to the lost, drawing them to you, that they may get saved. And Lord, we pray for a big harvest. I don't know how much time we have, but whatever it is, Lord, bring people into the kingdom of God. Use us to share the gospel. And Lord, thank you for your love, that you take that burden off our shoulders, that our salvation is not based on how good we are, but it's based upon how great you are and the work that you've done for us. And we will be with you forever. We thank you for those encouraging words, Lord. And we just pray, use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.